You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the business of sports.
We're in a situation that we haven't dealt with in modern times.
The pandemic here has really accelerated the investments that we've been advocating for years.
From a macro standpoint, I think our sport industry is really forced to look at the business a little bit differently.
In-depth conversations with the leaders in the sports industry.
Who wants to be the sacrificial lambs that shows up at the first big major sporting event?
We're part of something much bigger than sport right now, and the health and safety of our stakeholders is what's most important.
Every moment, I think we're all, from a business perspective, thinking about the impact that the virus is having across the country.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
And I'm Michael Barr. Over the next hour, we will explore the big money issues in the world of sports and talk to some of the biggest players in the industry.
So excited about this show, guys, because we've got sort of a kindred spirit, Rich Kleiman, coming up with us. This guy knows the business of sports from all angles, even has his own competitive podcast. So we'll get into that and much more. But let's talk about what's been going on. A big week in the business of sports for sure. And one thing we're certain to talk with Rich Kleiman about, given his relationship with Kevin Durant, is Katie getting a new teammate, guys. James Harden. Leaving Houston, Lynchy, and coming to New York to the Nets. This is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Harden has been sort of a tough guy to handle by coaches and by owners of teams, but he's coming now to join a pretty good club, and there's a new big three in the East right now. And, you know, a lot of people, the obvious question is, well, there's only one basketball, and there's a lot of guys that want it. But that wasn't a problem for Golden State when Durant played there with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. It wasn't a problem when LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love were in the Cavaliers. It wasn't a problem for Kareem, Magic, and Worthy, and it wasn't a problem for Mikhail Bird and Parrish. So will it be a problem for the New Jersey Nets when James Harden arrived? I don't think so.
Well, you know who it's going to be a problem for, Michael Barr? The New York Knicks. I mean, if you're a Knicks fan and you are in the Knicks front office right now, you've got to be looking at this and saying, seriously, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, the Nets, at least from a moves perspective, are just running circles around their friends across the river.
Remember when we used to laugh when you said the Nets, and there was that little yes. giggle that you used to get? It's like, the yeah. Nets. Which one is worse, the Nets or Knicks? Now, the Nets, they are a powerhouse lookout, and it's done something else. It's bringing back big-time buzz in the New York area about basketball. We haven't had that in a long time.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I think you've got a very well-run business in this case, and you've got some name-brand players who are going to generate a lot of revenue for the Nets for themselves in the meantime. And we know, apologies to all of our Boston fans, Lynchy, but New York is kind of the center of the world when it comes to media yeah. finance and all of that stuff. So in any case, well, we do know one thing that will be happening at Madison Square Garden. We'll see how well it goes, is the National Hockey League, and yep. we are going to see the puck drop. Different sort of view of it. We caught up with Javier Gutierrez of the Coyotes a couple weeks back, and, you know, a different sort of season, but the NHL, they're getting back to business, Lynchy.
Yep, they are. They're going to play 56 games in 110 days. There are a lot of back-to-back nights, but geographically, they put all the divisions together. So the New York Rangers are going to be in the same division with the Islanders and the Bruins and the Capitals and the Penguins and Buffalo, I think. There's all the teams. So geographically, there won't be a lot of travel. And a lot of people are really, really excited because remember when hockey picked up last year, they played in two venues, Toronto and Edmonton. And now they're going to be playing in the cities. most of the cities are not allowing fans in. Some are, but at least, you know, it just feels a little bit more normal because you're actually playing in the Garden as opposed to playing in Toronto.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this goes, and I think everyone is especially interested because, bar the NBA, it is a mess right now. And, you know, we spent so much of the back half of 2020 talking about, oh, the NBA, they're geniuses, they pulled this off, the bubble, no asterisk on this championship, they got it all done, they got it all in. Well, now they're facing a lot of the same issues that baseball and football faced on a professional level. I don't know how this season is going to go, and I dare say if it even is going to be able to limp to the finish, because we're taping this in real time, and we're seeing games get postponed and canceled literally as we're doing this on Thursday morning. We don't know what's going to happen here, but something's got to change in terms of the protocols or maybe the enforcement of the protocols. What do you make of it, Barr?
Well, yeah, I mean, this went from the bubble, and I've said what I feel about the bubble. Yes, they're human beings, but yes, the bubble worked.
Right.
But now we've had several games that have been at least postponed, and you can't keep having this. I know that the NBA took a page from the NFL on scheduling the games and having holes where you can slot this back or this or that, whatever. Well, you've had so many games postponed already. This is causing a problem.
It absolutely is, Lynchy. And, you know, I wonder, and I'm lifting this directly from something I heard Bill Simmons talk about on his podcast. It's going to be a real test for Adam Silver, who, you know, gets all these plaudits from the owners and the players about being a great commissioner. But he's going to have to make some tough choices. He may need to find his inner Goodell here and, you know, and really start bringing the hammer down on these guys, because you do have folks, including the newest arrival at the New York Nets, who have broken protocols and, you know, some financial consequences if there, but it's got to be different if they're going to see this season out.
Well, they're trying everything they possibly can. Now I think they're going to put masks on players on the bench when they come out of the game. Originally, it was only the coaches and team personnel. I think they're going to eliminate shoot-arounds in the morning. They're not going to allow players. You know, when someone makes the first of two free throws, all the teammates come in and give them a fist pump. They're going to eliminate that. And the post-game hugs with opponents, that's going to be out. And it's kind of funny. When most people watch tape, they watch the game action. In the NBA office, I know that they're watching what happens during timeouts, what happens pregame, what happens postgame. And it's going to be like the NFL. They're going to come down and maybe just hit someone hard with a fine to send a lesson. And it worked in the NFL. And there's no bubble. And the other thing is, there's only about 12 to 14 players on a roster in the NBA.
Right.
You can't afford to have four or five guys. In baseball, remember they had that taxi squad of 25 players as a backup? There are 53 guys and more on an NFL roster. So you can afford to have two or three guys, four guys that have it. But basketball can't because of the depth in the roster.
That's a really good point. Yeah, and there's just a lot at stake. You know, they are trying to get in 72 games, and they have built in, as Mark Tatum explained to us just a couple weeks ago before the season tipped off, they've built in a lot of flex in the back half, but they're going to have to make some different decisions, it feels like, going forward, Michael Barr.
Yes, they are. And the biggest thing that they're going to have to worry about is, and you mentioned it right from the get-go, is that out of the four major food groups, Adam Silver is the one that the NBA players like the best. And maybe that's going to change if Silver has to crack down on trying to get these guys in line to, like, look, follow the rules. Because if you don't, the whole league's going to blow apart. So please, do what you got to do.
Today, totally psyched to be speaking with Rich Kleiman. He is the co-founder of 35 Ventures, a guy I've gotten to know a bit. I certainly listen to his pod all the time, read what he's doing on the boardroom. So, Rich, really nice to have you with us, and very timely to have you with us because, wow, it has been quite a week in the NBA. Even we're taping this on a Thursday morning. Even the last 24 hours have been nuts right here in our backyard and with the Nets. Tell us what's going on.
You know, I get to, you know, get as close a view to what goes on behind the scenes in the NBA without being an agent and without being, you know, an NBA exec. I'm in a managed Kevin, so I get to see all of this. And the excitement of it is really incredible. And listen, it's, it's the NBA is now like no trade, I think, really shocks fans. But yesterday, I think fans around the league were really in like disbelief at what just went down, even though it was rumored for so long.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought it was just talk, and this was, oh, okay, that's nice. Gives the sports world something to talk about. And all of a sudden, bam, it happens. And now the Nets are this super team. I'm just wondering, do you think that they're the team now that's going to win it all?
Well, I mean, listen, I work with one player in the NBA, so I'm always going to be biased and think that the team that KD is on is going to win. And, you know, and they got three of the best players in the NBA. And we've seen that in the playoffs, like having superstar players that can get a bucket whenever they need to, especially two of them that have won a championship, one of them that's played in conference finals, they look great. But I also know from watching the NBA so closely that, like, there's a lot of things that come into play, and it's still brand new. So, you know, I guess the way you got to say the safe way is to say that the champ is always still the favorite, right, to the Lakers. But obviously I'm biased, so, you know, I feel good about the Nets and the move they made. But still a long season. And also, this year is so odd. Like, I'm looking at the ticker as we speak, and it's just so – it's scary at times to see what's come of, you know, obviously our whole world. But when you see the ticker at the bottom of SportsCenter just kind of talking about the games that are postponed, man, there's just so many variables to, like, do anything but just play, you know, like play one game at a time. And I think for Kevin especially, after missing so much basketball, like obviously he's excited and I think he feels good about his team, but he really is just enjoying being back on the court. And you know, that's the best mindset to have right now, especially with what's going on.
Rich, it's Mike Lynch up here in Boston. Obviously, we're not very happy that James Harden is coming to the East. We got rid of LeBron. We got rid of Kyrie Leonard. We sent them out West. And now here comes Durant and here comes Harden. And, you know, one more obstacle to get to the NBA Finals. Knowing Kevin the way you know him, he went to Golden State and everyone says, well, there's only one basketball for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. The same questions are going to arise with the Nets. Do you foresee any issues at all in terms of three big personalities and just stars sharing one basketball?
No, I mean, everything is like just like in business. You know, there's obviously going to be a lot of people having to understand what each person needs. You know, some James and Kevin have played together, but it's been a lot of years. And then there's other players involved. And you have a new coach who, you know, is perfect for this situation, is perfect to manage, you know, the different players involved. But no, because, you know, these kind of things these days, when these three guys and any of these superstars, when they join up, you have to understand that, like, it's done with thought. It's done with, like, them understanding that, like, yeah, of course I can go into a situation and change the kind of player I am. That's why they're so good, you know. So when I hear people say that, like, James never played in the system, no, he did play in a system. That was the system. And he can play in any system when you're that good. And Kevin's shown that, you know, and Kyrie showed that in Cleveland. So, you know, I actually think there's no three better players. Obviously, on paper, to a fan, they may not quite understand the intricacies of, like, how it can work on the court, or they don't slot a natural position on paper. But when you have players of that caliber that understand the game at the level they understand it, there's nothing that can keep it from working. You know, it's really just how far they can go. And, you know, and like I said, that comes with all the other different variables, and there's other great teams.
You know, Rich, one of the reasons I love talking to you is you do approach this from a business perspective. And so I want to ask, you know, as you look at the Nets as a franchise and you look at these players as brands, what does this do for KD? What does this do for the sort of the brand of the Nets as it is clearly ascendant? I mean, you're a New York guy. I mean, you have seen up close and personal, you know, this team and this brand sort of eclipse that other team that plays across the river.
Yeah, well, no, I don't, you know, again, if I make the analogy as it relates to business, is there is never one person in a space that completely monopolizes it. You know, there are monopolies, but there's right. always others. And, you know, I don't whether they've eclipsed them or not, I think it's the Knicks haven't come down in popularity, you know, so it's just that the Nets have risen in popularity. And, you know, the Mets and the Yankees, for instance, like the Yankees are clearly the the legendary historic team in New York, and they've won so much more than the Mets have. But the Mets are not a bad franchise, and Mets fans love the Mets. And then now it's a different story, because now my boy Steve Cohen is there, and the Mets may actually take over the Yankees. But my point is that I think the Nets now are a different, unique, incredible big brand, and they're actually like a global brand, which they never were before. But in New York, it's not like, goodbye, Knicks, here's this big Nets band. It's just like, here's two monster brands based in New York.
When we talk about basketball, the state of it in general, where do you see it going now? Because there have been problems with the league and COVID outbreaks. Last season, it worked fine in the bubble. But this season, there have been numerous postponements. Where do you see the future of this season going?
Well, I only know what I hope. I hope that obviously the NBA has the ability to withstand and continue to fight through, because even with what you saw in baseball and football, there is a little bit of a leveling off. You know, baseball in the beginning, I think we all thought there was no way it would end. Football somehow has pulled it off, and the NBA was seamless in how they put the bubble together. This is a new animal. There's also this new strain of the virus right when the NBA is starting. And everyone knows, at least from what it's been reported, that strain is more contagious. Doesn't mean it's more lethal in any way. And I think that you have the healthiest athletes in the world. And while there may unfortunately be postponements and players missing, that's the variable like that we were talking about. Not an asterisk, it's a variable, because it just becomes a hurdle. And you have to adjust. And I hope that, you know, this is what we're all having to do right now. It's just adjust. Like, we're on a podcast right now. You know, we're on a show. You guys have to keep working. And I think that they're going to find a way to continue on. I think that's exactly what happened. And, you know, hopefully with a new administration and a new level of calm in our country and a new, like, priority being put across the board to the pandemic first and foremost over politics and elections and stuff, I think it can only go up and it can only get better. Yes, cases may go up in the short term and we have to be cognizant of that. But like, I don't think they shut the NBA down.
And Rich, I feel like we came in hot with you talking about all the news of the day. Let's take a beat if we can. Remind us what 35 Ventures is, because the ambition, it feels like, has really just continued to accelerate. Tell us where you are at this moment with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think 35 Ventures has become the holdings company for, you know, Kevin and my ambitions. And that's, you know, to do a multitude of things in the venture space, in the media space, in the brand space. And we've continued to do so. We've really amplified the Boardroom brand and added multiple verticals and really putting a bigger push behind that this year. And we've had a handful of sponsors that have, invested into it. And then we continue to work on our full-length docs. We have a scripted series at Apple that should release this year. Our foundation and the Durant Center in PG County are continuing to be a focus. So, you know, I think things will, throughout years, will be fluid, and things that become the focus of our attention, you know, like the Philadelphia Union, and that's the MLS team that we invested in. I think at some point throughout the year, that becomes very top of mind. But it is really, you know, a holdings company for our ambitions, you know, and I think that we've created this incredible like-minded group of people to help us bring that to life and to collaborate with us. So, you know, we intend on staying relatively nimble, but some verticals of our business are growing where we're hiring people dedicated to that. And, you know, we'll keep building and doing this as long as we can.
Take us back to the beginning, if you can, with the old black and white photos and how this whole thing started. Can you tell us how it began?
Well, I was fortunately born to color photos. And
I wish I could say that.
This is the part of the show, Rich, where Barr always shows his age. He outs himself as a geezer by his own admission, but go on.
Well, I couldn't go up for that ride with you, man. I'm 44. I'm 44, and for at least like another 6 or 10 years, maybe I can at least pretend that there's some youth in there. But no, I grew up in New York City. I'm an avid sports fan. I couldn't really function and focus in school, so it wasn't for me. I tried my hand at, you know, different entrepreneurial things that, you know, were never going to lead me anywhere. But I had a great network of people. I always kept in touch with a handful of people I grew up with, and I went out of my way to meet people that were in successful positions. And when I got asked to help a friend of mine with an internet company, a dot-com company, at 22, after not finishing college and really messing around, I helped them raise money. We helped it bring it to life. And at that point, I feel like I had really gotten my education. And right after that is when I kind of started my career. And I worked in TV. I worked in music. I managed artists. I worked for Jay-Z. I produced films. And ultimately, I wanted to get back into sports. And when I did at Roc Nation, I was able to bring like all of that experience that I had had and all of my multitude of jobs and all within the entertainment business. And when I moved over to sports, it was like my childhood knowledge that I really always followed sports. Like it was my business. And then my real kind of lessons and experiences I had learned and the network I had learned and building in the entertainment business really combined and really put me in a great position at 35 to just be in the sports world. And I met KD, and I was his agent and manager at Roc Nation for a while, a handful of other athletes and artists, but ultimately I wanted my own business. And, you know, and that's a tough thing for any entrepreneur when you're working for a great organization is, you know, how scary it is to go off on your own. And I had kids at that point. So, you know, Kevin believed in me. And so, you know, about 5 years ago, we joined forces and started building 35 Ventures. So that's, you know, that's the quick story.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Rich, you've got Kevin in New York now, so geographically you guys are close. But now that the season is underway, what is his involvement in 35 Ventures during the regular season?
Well, I mean, we built the company for Kevin to always be the forefront of everything we do, but not necessarily have to ever be the face unless it was appropriate or something he wanted to do or build. And, you know, when he was in the Bay, I spent a lot of time in the Bay and was able to build a network there. In New York, obviously, I already had one, but when Kevin got here last year, a whole handful of new people, you know, started approaching themselves and coming to the table with cool opportunities. And, you know, Kevin is one of those people that he doesn't check out from life when the season's going on. It's just like anyone that's, you know, has their job is about balance. And we understand that here. And where it's needed, he'll hop on calls and stop by the office. You know, me and him talk every day. So I share things in like real time. So it's really more about, you know, how great his memory is, and he stays in touch with everything happening. And, you know, just his point of view at times and just his perspective is really helpful. And then, you know, like with his podcast, when he goes deeper on something, then he's all in, even if it's during the season, you know, because he can really manage both very well.
You know, Rich, you touched on this a few minutes ago, and I want to dive a little deeper because it strikes me that your experience is especially relevant given what we're seeing, quote unquote, like in the culture, as it were. And I think about the development of athletes, brands, and their role in social justice, their role in influencing. I feel like you probably saw a version of that in your previous career, as it were, earlier in your career, when you were, you know, managing musical artists. Can you draw some connections there that to help us understand sort of that evolution?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously well documented and both literally and figuratively about the connection between you know, hip hop and the NBA and how much influence one has had on each other. But from a business perspective and from a brand perspective, I think that rap music and hip hop music and that entire kind of burst of this, you know, music culture and everything, 80s, 90s, 2000s, had the direct impact on what you see athletes doing now with their brands. And Jay-Z, for instance, which I had the, you know, a luxury of being able to watch firsthand, to me, built the most flawless business and never, ever, ever veered from who he was. And built something and impacted so many different parts of the world of business by staying true to himself and really like leaning in on his taste and his style and his aesthetic and his gut, always like talked about his gut, and then owning it all and then building into all these different verticals. And LeBron now has done that flawlessly in the NBA and has impacted so many other athletes to do the same in their own vein. But you saw the Dr. Dre, the Puff Daddy, the Jay-Z, the Jimmy Iovines, you know, on a bigger level in that he was running the label. But these guys were building businesses that now you see throughout the NBA that is a model, I think, throughout entertainment, which is that, like, my brand now becomes an entire enterprise. And it's really incredible because I got to watch it and live it. You know, the artists I managed, Meek Mill, Wale, Solange, artists like J. Cole that I was able to A&R his album, or be a part of A&R. I don't want to claim any of that. But, you know, for me, I saw, like, all of those artists starting to do similar things, and they don't all have to be Jay-Z, right? And in the NBA now, everyone doesn't have to be LeBron to have their own enterprise. And that's, you know, and for me, this is just going to continue on and on and on. The agencies, though, now are hip to that. And CAA is not like, I don't understand this new model. It's more, we can create that model for an athlete and bring in the athlete's manager and create an infrastructure. So, you know, I think this is truly the future of it all.
There are numerous media projects that you guys have going on right now, but one that really caught my eye was Q-Ball. And what it is that San Quentin State Prison, they're hardened convicts, and they're trying to take their shot at redemption, and they're trying to navigate through personal struggles, bonding through basketball. Take us through that, because that's really a great idea.
Well, so it's a interesting story. When Kevin first went to the Warriors, Bob Myers asked Kevin and myself to go to San Quentin because the Warriors had gone a few years in a row, I think since Mark Jackson had been the coach. And they go to San Quentin early in the season, and there's a basketball team that calls himself the San Quentin Warriors, and they scrimmage with them. And it's not the actual Warriors that scrimmage. The players visit, but like the assistant coaches, some of the coaches, and Bob plays himself are all ex-players. Then Joe Lacob's sons would play. And, you know, when Mark Jackson coached, he played. I think Steve Kerr might have played. And these guys play in a real game. I mean, the San Quentin Warriors are incredible. Kevin and I went there, and I mean, we walked through death row. We walked through places that, like, I could never imagine seeing. It was unbelievable experience in so many ways, so many different emotions. And Kevin really was just Kevin, true and true himself, talking to all the inmates, having these incredible conversations. I remember Draymond was with us, and I think he was playing spades or something with the inmates. It was just incredible for me to watch. And randomly, about 2 years later, a really good friend of mine, a producer, Jamie Patrickoff, told me that him and another director were working on something, a documentary called Q-Ball in San Quentin, and they had distribution already, but they really needed someone to come in and amplify this project and really bring it to life and try to tell some of the stories and host screenings and also help them with more access in San Quentin. And it was like completely odd and unique situation because they had no idea that we had just visited. So we kind of helped them just bring that to life, and this director, Michael Tolan, did it, and it really was a special doc. So I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet, but you guys should watch it. It's a really amazing story. And one of the inmates who got out ended up getting a tryout for the Warriors G League team.
Mm, good.
Hey, Rich, talk to me about the boardroom and its different tentacles. I find that fascinating. That's something that that you guys are deeply involved in.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking, because that's really like our baby. You know, I'm really fortunate to be in this position, like, because I managed Kevin Durant, I was able to have a platform to be able to do all of these things that I love to do throughout all these different forms of business. And as a kid, you know, I had all these entrepreneurial goals. I wanted to be in sports, and there really was no traditional, conventional way that I was going to be able to take to get there. I wasn't built for that. And I think today you see so many kids and so many people inspired by so many different, you know, entrepreneurs that have, you know, started their careers in different ways that they never imagined that you could take. And in the sports world, especially, there were so many new entryways to work in the business. And it included art and fashion and technology, but it still was rooted in sports. So I figured that there was an opportunity to create a brand and a platform where you really could get the information on what was going on in the sports world and sports business world in a different way than you would get from your traditional kind of business or sports business outlet. And it's really evolved now into more of like a what we hope one day is like a Gen Z Forbes, where we're really like talking about the world of sports business and culture in, you know, in the way it looks to us. And we have podcasts, we have original video series, we have a newsletter, we have a college series and a trading card vertical. And, you know, we didn't raise any money for it. We've really built it as like a fabric of our business, and it's really started taking off. And we're launching our new site, boardroom.tv, which will be housing all of this in like a week or two. So, you know, I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'm really excited about it.
So, Rich, as you guys sort of go through and you assess what to do, what not to do, I mean, help us understand the screen. You know, what are some of the basic questions that you're asking? Because I would imagine, you know, folks are coming at you all the time. The world is your oyster. You know, you've got huge brands backing you already and associated with you. How do you decide, like, what's the general process?
First of all, like, recently, someone that I respect very much, Aria, who's the head of Lion Tree, told me that I needed to redo He told me I needed to redo my schedule and make my schedule 70% offensive and 30% defensive. And what I realized was I was taking, like, massive amounts of calls of incoming ideas. And I did think that I had a great filter down. It was what I believed we had the bandwidth to do, what kind of people we would be working with, because it has to be good energy and it has to be good people no matter how big the opportunity is. Is it something Kevin and I love, we feel like we could impact? And, you know, and from there, as it relates to us bringing that brand or that product to life, that's that filter. When it comes to a VC and a deal we'd invest in, there's obviously, you know, a different criteria, and it relates a bit to the level of check size that we're doing, you know. So with the smaller check size, it could be the concept, the founders, whether we could play a part as an active or a passive investor. And then when it's a bigger check size, we do a bit more of a deep dive. But what I've changed now and recently is, you know, I do have a lot of opportunity, but it's not always the right opportunity. And it's not always the opportunities that are going to help bring to life some of the things that we are working on, that we actually are focused on, right? Not new business, but things that we're in the weeds building. And those things entail me still rolling up my sleeves and, you know, getting to that next level in business and trying to get the attention of people that can help bring some of the things we're working on to life. And, you know, that's a cool position to be in. I still feel like I'm chasing, and I still feel that hustle every day. And I know I have a ways to go, but also we have created a great platform, and Kevin is the best at what he does. And we are now looking at so many different opportunities, and that's exciting, but I'm starting to manage it a bit more and figure out like what it is that we need now to bring some of our things to life. But, you know, we never take on more than we can manage. I'm never inundated, and it's never with people that I don't enjoy working with.
Well, it's been a real pleasure catching up with you. Love doing the deep dive. We could talk to you for the rest of the day, but there's business to be done on your side, that's for sure. And as we talked about at the top, never a dull moment in any facet of our lives, business or sports or politics or anything else. So really, really good to spend some time with you. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
So, guys, really interesting to catch up with him. I've been looking at him for a while and trying to sort of understand what has been going on. I listened to his podcast. He's got a great podcast of his own. KD now has a podcast as well. As we talked about, I mean, a huge amount of ambition. And listen, the world only gets more interesting if you're KD and Rich Kleiman, if the Nets only get better and better and get a higher and higher profile, Lynchy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always wondered when I see people coming from, like, the music industry or the movie industry into professional sports, will it work?
Yeah.
Well, we've seen some of his predecessors. It has worked. And he's right. I mean, this the NBA right now is just a confluence of music, culture, artists, you name it. I mean, we've all been around NBA games before a game. If the United States Senator walked into an arena and a rapper walked into an arena, the players would gravitate right over to the rapper and want to have their picture taken with him or her. And he's, you know, he's got great business acumen, and he's got a guy whose reputation is pristine.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant. He is known as a good guy and a philanthropic guy as well.
Unless you're in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. And I may feel differently come the playoffs in the spring.
Yeah, I was gonna say. No, I mean, no, you're exactly right. I mean, I've actually been reading a book about KD recently, and it is amazing. Like he is seen as like a really like good dude, and it's interesting to hear Rich talk about that and reflect it in terms of, you know, what they choose to do, Bar.
Oh yeah, and all their media projects. And again, I'm really impressed about Q-Ball. I really want to see that when it makes its debut. And it's because it all about it. Yes, people screwed up and that's how they wound up in prison. But if you can redeem yourself, that's what prison is supposed to be. And this kind of program here seems like that's the way it's going to work.
Yeah, really, really interesting interview. So do check out his podcast after you listen to ours, of course.
My goal is to be the number one pick. That's something I've been dreaming of since a kid.
It feels better to be number one than number five.
I wear the number because of Mike.
We have a chance to go for three in a row.
Good numbers at a good time.
When I first started wearing that number, I was just happy and proud.
Bloomberg Business of Sports, the number of the week.
All right, here we go. We've been talking about Kevin Durant through this whole show. My question is very simple, gentlemen. How tall is Kevin Durant?
6'8".
Lynchy?
You know, I remember he was possibly a lottery pick for the Celtics, and I remember where they're going to play him as a swing forward or center. Close to 7 feet. I'm going to go 6'10".
You know, every week I feel like I like Lynchy less and less.
He hit a 10 on the nose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lynchy.
I feel like there's some sort of cabal going on here.
I thought it was going to be, you know, how much did he pay for a townhouse in Brooklyn?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
Brooklyn.
That. That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I tell you, we didn't get into this with, I'm just trying to like soothe my wound here. but, you know, we didn't get into as much of like the investments they made. I mean, you know, they invest in like Postmates. I mean, it's fascinating to see the tentacles. I think that was the term you used, Lynchy, earlier. So,
yes.
Anyway, yeah, 6'10". Your tentacles can go wide. That wingspan.
When we were kids, if someone was 6'10", they couldn't dribble the ball twice without bouncing off their knee or their foot. And this guy, you know, handles it like Marcus Haynes in the Globetrotters.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, lot to look forward to. I mean, what a timely interview, too, to catch Rich on the day it's all happening for the Nets. So we'll see where that goes.
Great job by our producers. Yeah, it was a good get.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you've been listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We're here each and every week at the same time, plus online wherever you get your podcasts. Those drop Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And tune in on Monday and check out our podcast feed as well. A special edition for Martin Luther King Day. We catch up with Curtis Granderson and some of the guys who put together the Players Alliance. It is an alliance of black former and current Major League Baseball players doing some really important work. And you're going to enjoy this conversation with Curtis, Chris Young, Chris Dickerson as well about all the work they're doing. In the meantime, I'm Jason Kelly. Find me on Twitter at Jason Kelly News.
And I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at LynchyWCBB.
That's right, Lynchy, our Houdini. I'm Michael Barr on Twitter at Big Barr Sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too.
I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.